Look here at the scripture again. Let's read a little bit farther. We'll begin with verse 16 again. The Bible says, "And he spake a parable unto them, saying, The ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, What shall I do, because I have no room where to bestow my fruits? And he said, This will I do. I'll pull down my barns and build greater. And there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, Soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich towards God." We all know what it means to lose something or to be lost. There was some time ago, a dear pastor friend down in Texas gave me a beautiful knife. He's a he's a Moore knife dealer. And he's outfitted me with numerous knives, beautiful pieces of art. And he gave me this very special knife, and I just loved it so much. I took it with me to junior and teen camp, of all things. And I put it in my hip pocket. It has a pocket clip on it. And I put it back there. I thought it'll be safe back there. And it has a button on it. You push the button, the blade shoots out and shoots. It's out the front, and a very expensive knife. It's not something that I would invest money in because I might lose it, and I wouldn't like that. And somewhere after lunch, I reached back to get my knife, and it wasn't there. And I'm starting to retrace my steps now. I'm trying to find where it's at. And I finally came to a point. I asked some of the young people to help me to look around. I'm not sure they did that, but I hope they did. And to look around and try to find it. And I was so sad about it. And I got to get in the car that evening, and when I did, I found it had slipped out and was in the driver's seat. And I thanked the Lord, and I told the Lord I'd never bring it to camp again. And I was thankful for that. We hate to lose things. I hate to be lost. I don't believe, the GPS. You know, it says, first of all, it's a woman telling me where to go and how to drive, and that bothers me. And we were driving, and it was a pastor's fellowship over in Union City, and she was telling me where to go and what to go. Debbie was with me, and we come literally to the middle of a cornfield, and it says, "You have arrived to your destination." And I thought, well, this is not right. So I turned around. I said, "We'll just have to try to hunt and peck and find it." And as I was going out of the cornfield, here comes another pastor in to the cornfield. It's a terrible thing to be lost. But consider the usage of this word. It speaks about being lost eternally. It speaks about a never-dying soul. And God speaks to this about this man. And this man says, in verse 26 it says, "For what is a man profited? What has he profited if he gains the whole world and lose his own soul?" You better understand something. There's going to come a reckoning day that we all stand before God. The Bible says it's appointed a man to die, and after this, the judgment. Every bucket will set on its own bottom. And we see that there's a great cost of being lost for all eternity. There's no hope of ever getting out. There is no limbo. There is no purgatory. There's no storing place. When we leave this world, we go to heaven or we go to a devil's hell. And we have the love of the Father. We have God the Father who loved us so that he gave his only begotten Son, that who would ever confess, believe in him, place total commitment in what he did and what he accomplished on Mount Calvary, our sins could be forgiven. This is a sad, sad story about this lost man who really lost everything. He lost his his prosperity, all that he had, and how pitiful. He was rich, but in the end of life, he had great regrets. And consider the cost of being lost. Why did this man lose all of it? Let me give three thoughts to you this morning. First of all, let me say that his happiness was limited to his happenings. His happiness was limited to his happenings. In verse 16, the Bible says, "And he spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully." Everything seemed to be going well for this man. As a matter of fact, I'm sure his neighbors would look at him and would say, "Boy, I tell you what, he's doing well over there." I noticed the other day they were pulling down his barns. They were not large enough to take all the gain and all the yield that he's had these past years. I'm sure he was happy as he would sit down at night and he would evaluate his life. Are you listening? As he would evaluate his life. He probably felt very successful. He probably felt that he had done a good job, and he had determined to expand his operation, and things could not be sweeter, things could not be better. Now, investments on earth are always risky. Think about the financial reversal that could have happened to this man. Drought could have come. If drought would have came, he would have been devastated with his crops. Too much rain would have ruined his crops, would have drowned them out. He failed to recognize that all these things are always possible. They have a possibility of happening. And he had made no plans for any type of disaster. His disaster came in the area of totally unexpected. And often disaster comes and broadsides us. Disaster usually will take place when we least expect it. And he thought that he had plenty. He says in verse 19, "Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry." Don't you think when he said that to himself that he was really feeling confident and very satisfied? But God thought otherwise. God said in verse 20, this night, this man didn't know it was the night. He thought he had many other nights, but God said this night. And friend, you might be sitting there and you may feel very comfortable. You may be feeling very satisfied and you may think that you're very happy, but you're not prepared for the night. The night's coming. This night, he said, thy soul shall be required of thee. Now, I want you to know, my friend, listen, your body will die, but your soul will live for all eternity somewhere. And we see here that he was unprepared, completely unprepared. He was set for life, he thought. And it says to us in verse 17, and he thought within himself. And that's where we get off. We start thinking within ourselves. We think, I've done pretty well. And as he looked about and he saw all that he had, he saw the new barns going up. He saw the tremendous yield of produce and grains. And his neighbors, I'm sure, would wave at him and congratulate him. And he came to a point and says, I'm finally at a stopping point. I'm finally at a place where I don't have to worry. I can sit back and be easy, take life easy, and live off of my hard work. But this night interrupted everything that he was planning. He was completely unprepared for eternity. Let me ask you, are you prepared for eternity? Now, normally when we ask that, and this is true, we want you to be prepared to meet God and to be saved and sins forgiven. But I want you to know something, Christian. If you have bitterness and hatred and unforgiveness, you're not prepared to meet God either. You see, he was unprepared. All his attention had been spent on the physical and on the things of this earth. We see that his happiness was limited to his happenings. But notice also that his holdings were limited to the harvest. In verse 17, there again the Bible says, and he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do? So he's pausing, he's meditating on what he should do, because I have no room to bestow my fruits. And then the revelation comes to him in verse 18. This will I do. I'll pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. His prosperity produced problems for him. And this is true. usually when we are prosperous, it opens up the doors of issues that we have to think about that we did not consider before life. He says, what shall I do? So now he has to figure out some things about his prosperity. His increase of wealth complicated his life. It didn't make things easier on his life. Let me tell you, my friend, it takes a steady hand to carry a full cup. And he gathered he had no thoughts about sharing. He didn't think about the beggars and down at the church house, at the temple. He had no thought about how he could take these goods, extra goods, and use them for good. The rich man, he suffered from eye trouble. Notice in verse 18, this will I do. You know why he's saying I? Because he's thinking within himself. He's leaning into his own understanding. He's not even acknowledging God and what God would have him to do with these things. And he says here clearly, this will I do. I will pour down my barns. His new barns were the advertisement of his affluency in the region. And there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. You know what's wrong for a lot of us? We got eye trouble. We got eye problems. It's me, myself, and I. I have learned that my worst enemies are me, myself, and I. And this man, he was rich, but he suffered from eye trouble. His prosperity produced problems for him. But then notice, everything this man harvested was perishable. Everything that he harvested was perishable. None of it would last forever. His fruits and his goods would eventually rot. Even his new barn would finally eventually decay and fall apart. Drive through Tennessee and through some of these areas of Kentucky and look at these beautiful old barns that must have been put up 100 years ago and they're barely hanging together. And boy, that barn wood is expensive stuff if you want some of it. And you see, one time, that was a working barn. One time in Tennessee, they'd store their cotton in there, and in Kentucky, they'd store their tobacco in there. And they put their fruits in there, but it's not going to last forever. And this is the way the world and his life was. He majored on the temporal, on things that seem to be so important. The things in this life simply will not last. Our cars will not last. Our houses will not last. Our possessions will not last. And the things that this world have to offer to us, they are fleeting. They are not going to last. Only what's done for Christ is going to last. Well, we see this man. He felt pretty good about himself. His neighbors must have been greatly impressed by him. But we see why he lost it all. Thirdly, because his hopes were limited to the horizons. He says in verse 19, and I will say to myself, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, be merry. By the way, these things are all dealing with the flesh. Eat, drink, and merriment. This is all dealing with the flesh. There's no spiritual reward in this. But God said unto him, thou fool. God calls this man a fool. Why was he a fool? Because he's living for the day and never thought about eternity. He's looking into the future, but he's looking through a very narrow glass of his future, of his prosperity. He's not considering his own soul. This man was preparing to be retired. He looked at the future with confidence because he had accomplished so much. He felt confident that he was in a good place. He felt confident that he was set up for the future. But God's view of this man was that he was a fool. Now, let me ask you, what's God's view of you today? He did all he was supposed to do according to the world's standards. I'm sure he would have been in business magazines if that was around during the time. We're always bombarded with information and advertisements and promotions about preparing for the future. Man, I mean, you turn 65 and they're all gunning for you and for that Social Security, that and what agencies you're going to use for Medicare, all, you know. And this man, he had made right investments in an earthly way, in earthly holdings. He was successful as a farmer, and he harvests, his harvests proved all that. He was preparing for retirement. His plan for the future was faulty because he didn't include God. He had a neglectful plan when it came to eternity. We're getting a bit older. I'm not as old as some of you, but we're getting a bit older, and we're getting ready to having to make some old people decisions on some things. And there's some things we don't need to neglect, and some things we don't even think about until you get to some of these points. This man failed to consider his needs beyond the grave. See, when you die, things just don't stop. You continue on. There's an eternity. And in comparison to this world and this life is just a drop in the bucket in comparison to eternity. He failed to consider his needs beyond the grave. He's so busy, he was too busy to consider what would happen after he died. Maybe he felt that he was too enlightened. Maybe he felt like he was too, polished to be a Bible banger or be one of those heaven and hell believers. No matter what he was thinking, no matter what his thoughts, no matter what he believed, it didn't change the fact that God said, this night. I know people in almost 44, 45 years of ministry now. I know people who've had a life-changing experience where they just came just that close to death. Some in just a matter of seconds of an accident. Others who were laying in the hospital bed and the doctors had given up and said there's no hope, but for the power of prayer and God's reasoning and His sovereignty raised them up and have a second chance to consider. No matter what he was thinking, no matter what his belief system was, he didn't know about or think about this night. And this man, listen to me, he went out into eternity this night, lost and undone in his sins and transgressions. Eternally lost. Everything he had worked for so hard, everything that he had gathered, all the difficult work and the great expansion, all the goods, the grains, and all that he had was left behind. Now let me tell you, this is tragic. Everything he had worked for so hard to gain, he lost like that, including his never dying soul. Consider the Lord's lesson to us this morning. Verse 21 says, "So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich towards God." This man died and went to hell for all eternity, not because he was rich, but because he trusted in his riches. Because he was not rich towards God. I believe that this is a warning to all of us. Some questions we should ask ourselves is, where is our focus today? Is it on the external? Is it on bigger barns? Is it on the future that we can be at ease and take life easy? Maybe we should ask ourselves the question, is it upon our focus upon the world and the things of this world? Is our focus, is it on the temporal, the things that are fleeting and aren't lasting? Jesus said, we would suffer the same loss. So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich towards God. Failure to be rich towards God means to be eternally lost. To never ever having freedom or salvation. An eternity without Jesus Christ is an eternity of literal lake of fire. That's not a popular message today. People don't like that today. But I want you to know, it hasn't changed one minute in the book. There's a place called hell. And people are going to die and go there for all eternity. And we do all we can do. We run buses and we have children's churches and we go door to door soul winning, and we have prayer time for revival and for souls to be saved. And we support missions across the street and around the world. We do all we can do. And how tragic it is to see people walk in these doors and leave undone in their sins. Eternity without Christ is an eternity in the lake of fire. It's an eternity of pain and torments. I was talking to a group of boys some years ago. I was much younger. And I was at the park, and I saw these boys with some guitars and amplifiers up in the pavilion. And I went up and I talked to them, and we were all about the same age. And I passed out some gospel tracts to them, and I began to tell them about their need of Christ. And they began to snicker and to laugh, and they felt pretty fortified in being the three of them. And one said, man, I'm going to be in hell drinking liquor and playing poker with my friends. Another guy says, man, hell is not real. Hell for me is being on the freeway at 5 o'clock, is what he said. The other one was quiet. But I told them that I wish that was hell for them. But that's not what the scriptures say. And I told them that 5 o'clock on the freeway is going to be the only heaven they ever experience once they get to hell. It's a place of torment. It's where the worm dieth not and the flames are not quenched. It's the gnashing of teeth. The Bible says eternity without Christ is a lake of fire and pain and torments and eternal darkness. It's eternal darkness there, blinded. And then it's a place of no hope and lost forever. We would not want our worst enemy to go to this place. This is a warning to all of us. So is he that layeth up treasure for himself. Our focus is about ourselves and is not rich towards God. There's a warning to all of us. Failure to be rich towards God means eternally lost of our soul. And then lastly, the invitation is for all of us. Those of us who are without Christ today, you've never really been saved. Oh, you've prayed the rosary and you've had the sacraments and maybe you got wet in a baptistry tank or maybe you were sprinkled. But you're without Christ. And you need to come to Him and come to Him today. If you cannot take this Bible and show us how you know you're going to heaven, you're not going to heaven because you're a Baptist or because you're a Catholic, because you're a Pentecostal, because you're a Methodist. If you can't take this Word of God and show us how you know you're going to heaven, I think you need to really examine your salvation. But not just towards those who are without Christ. This is an invitation for those who are saved. I think maybe we should evaluate our life. What are we investing in? Are we investing our time and our talents and our tithe in the right thing? What we are doing, will it bring eternal reward? Someone says that God's rewards are out of this world. And I believe that's really true, although there's great blessings today. But there's crowns to be worn. One, their souls to be saved. I'm speaking to people this morning, you've never led one person to Christ. And if not, we should come and say, God, help us with our focus. Because we too can get distracted, can't we? Surrender your heart and your life to Him today. This man thought he was all that in a bag of chips. He was on Primrose Lane as far as the standards of the world would say. This man had others who admired him. Probably some who coveted him, what he had. But God said, this night, thou fool. Do you know Jesus? I'm not asking, did you pray a prayer? I'm saying, is He God? Is He real in your life? I got saved when I was 11 years old and I had a lot of doubts. We were not in church and we didn't read the Bible. I didn't even own a Bible. But it was when I was 15, God began to deal with me. And I had to come to the point where I needed to know, was I really saved? What I did when I was 11, did that take care of me? Was I saved then, or do I need to get saved right now? I didn't know. I was confused. I didn't know what to do. I went to a pastor, and he shared the scriptures with me. And that day I came out of his office, I never doubted again. I knew where I was headed. I knew what the Bible said. You see, Jesus told the Pharisees, search the scriptures, for they speak of me. They had rejected him, and he became the cornerstone. They didn't know the scriptures. I think a lot of people think they're okay because they prayed a prayer, they did something, they got wet in the baptism, but there's never been a real turnover in your life. There's never really been any real firm witness in your life that you're saved. Make sure of it this morning. Would you quietly stand to your feet and bow your heads? We won't be long, but listen to me carefully. While people are standing, heads are bowed and eyes are closed. If you're here and you say, Pastor, and I want to say this to you because you may not know this, but I won't embarrass you. I won't pick you out. I won't come to you. I don't do those things. I just want to pray for you. And if you're here this morning, while every head is bowed and every eye is closed, and you say, Pastor, I have confusion like you spoke about. I obviously want to go to heaven. I don't want to go to hell. But, Pastor, I have some confusion about it. Would you just pray that this confusion would be settled and that I would know for sure about my eternal destiny? Would you raise your hand? Anyone like that this morning? Anybody at all? If you're here this morning and say, Pastor, I'm absolutely, positively sure I had a spiritual awakening and I received Jesus Christ and confessed my sins and received Him as my Savior, and I absolutely, positively know that if I were to die today, I'd go be with Him in heaven. Would you raise your hand? Raise up good and high. Wonderful. Now, if you couldn't raise your hand either way, maybe it's because you're confused like I was. I get it. For 5 years, I walked in that confusion. Matter of fact, there were some nights I laid my head down and thought, you know, I think you're probably okay, Rick. And then there's other nights I thought, you're not ready to meet God. I had to get it settled. And if you have any confusion, you can get it settled too. If you come forward as we play this invitation, we invite you to come forward. If you're a lady, one of our ladies will take you to a quiet place. If you're a gentleman, one of our men will take you to a quiet place and take the Bible and show you. And before you leave this campus today, before you leave this church, you'll know, you can know heaven's your home. Oh, it's a wonderful thing to know that. You're not really life to its fullest unless you know that. Let me encourage you, as we invite you to come in this hymn, you come. Let us get a lady or one of our men, whatever the case is, and let them share the gospel and show you what God says. They're going to show you what that pastor showed me that day. And I've never doubted since then. Lord, I pray for these folks. There's a battle raging. I know that. I had it raged in my own life, in my own chest. Help us, Lord. Holy Spirit, draw that person to you that they too can know for certain that their name's been written down in the Lamb's Book of Life and heaven's their home. No worry, no doubt, no confusion. It is settled. Because this night, thou fool, could take place. Bless the invitation. In Jesus' name we pray these things. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. God's spoken to you. You come right now.